An American in Paris is a legendary piece of music. But as we read in the New York Times this morning, people may have been playing it wrong for 70 years. George Gershwin wrote the piece after visiting Paris in 1928, and to evoke the feeling of Parisian streets, he bought and used real taxi horns on the orchestra stage. Nowadays, orchestras have to rent vintage horns to play the piece. Musicologist Mark Clegg of the University of Michigan recently went back to the original score and a very early recording of An American in Paris, and he came to a startling conclusion. Orchestras have been using the wrong taxi horns.
The taxi horns appear pretty much right off the bat. We start out with a sort of jaunty walking theme, and as the American in Paris is heading down the street, you start to hear the traffic noise, the sort of hustle and bustle of the city, the activity. And so he illustrates that energy with the sound of the taxi horns. So we're talking like the 1920s, so you have to think of like Henry Ford and the Model T. So there's a big rubber ball, and you squeeze the ball. So in George's handwritten score, he actually writes the rhythms in the percussion line, and then he puts the letter A over the first occurrence, the letter B over the second, then C and D, and he circles them. And he never defines in the score what A, B, C, and D mean. So ever since the 1940s, people have assumed that A, B, C, and D are correlated with musical pitches A, B, C, and D. So this is the traditional performance using the A, B, C, D taxi horns. So they gradually get higher. Here's a little higher. There's C. And then the high note coming is D. That's a typical building block that a composer might use. But it's not a typical sort of random sound you would hear on the street. It's too organized to be street noise. What we've discovered by going back to this 1929 recording, which George himself was involved in. He was there during the recording session. He coaches and interrupts the ensemble, gives them tips on how he wants to do it. And it turns out that A, B, C, and D are just labels. They could be numbers. They could be anything. Those original pitches were not A, B, C, and D, but A flat, B flat, high B, and low A, which gives a much more convincing impression of random street noise from Paris. There's actually quite a bit of ambiguity in the score, and I think it has a lot to do with sort of George's own movement from the popular sphere to the classical sphere and sort of different attitudes about what musical notation is. Is it a kind of roadmap, or is it sort of the gospel truth? George died really suddenly of a brain tumor in 1937 at the age of only 38 years old. And so he had so much creativity left in him, so much more that he would have done. And I think he would have curated his legacy and made sure that all of this detail was clear. Once people adjust to the fact that something might change, because of course with the orchestra, a lot of it's about tradition and conserving this legacy of our composers, I actually think that percussionists are going to grow to love this because it just adds a new sort of sense of freshness and a new sense of importance to their role in bringing American in Paris, which is this beloved work by George Gershwin, to life.
That's musicologist Mark Clegg of the University of Michigan. He's editing the first critical edition of George and Ira Gershwin's music.